Now broadcasting from the Next Gen Conservative Studio in sunny South Florida, bringing you the latest in politics, current events, and pop culture. This is the Whitfield Report with Sam Whitfield.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and Merry Christmas Eve to you all. I am your host, Sam Whitfield, streaming here on a Christmas Eve, a little impromptu show. This isn't going to be a real long one. Merry Christmas Eve to you all, and if you're listening to this either on Christmas, I don't know why you would be. Hopefully you have family or friends that you're spending time with. You know, hopefully you're spending time with them. Or maybe you're listening to this on Tuesday, you know, the day after. Maybe you've opened presents, you know, and you have time and you're turning into this podcast. Either way, I appreciate the fact that you are here with us for your Christmas Eve and or Christmas Day, and very honored to have you here. So I'm going to keep the show pretty low-key and light tonight, but there just are a couple of things I want to cover since I won't be doing a Monday show tomorrow with it being a holiday. I figured I would do the show for you tonight that usually would be done on Monday. So anyway, first thing is first, ladies and gentlemen. We mentioned this a bit on Wednesday's show, but the Colorado Supreme Court has decided not to put Donald Trump's name on the Colorado primary ballot. They have struck Trump's name from the primary ballot in Colorado, and many conservatives are upset that this is, you know, unconstitutional, which it absolutely is. And, you know, it's a dirty tactic from the left to keep Trump off the ballot. I get that. However, you know, what's going to happen is, this matter is going to go to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is most likely going to decide that what Colorado is doing is unconstitutional and they cannot do it. So they'll probably strike down Colorado's decision and force them to put Trump on the primary ballot. If they do uphold it, though, I know that some states, including Georgia and Arizona, are threatening to, or not so much threatening, but saying they're going to remove Joe Biden's name from the ballot. Because, hey, if Colorado can remove Trump's name from the ballot for the primaries, then what's to say that the more red states can't do the same for Biden? Now, Colorado is obviously, you know, citing the January 6th insurrection, quote unquote, as the reason why they removed Trump's name from the primary ballot. Even though Trump was not officially convicted of anything, they're still going with the, you know, the narrative that he led an insurrection. So that's the excuse that the Colorado Supreme Courts are using. More conservative states like Texas and Georgia and Arizona are saying that they're going to remove Biden's name from the ballot. They're citing, they're basically citing the fact that Biden has let illegals cross the border, which in Texas, I believe that constitutes treason. And a couple other states are going along with that. So basically, the Democrats have said that, you know, they're going to remove a candidate from the primary ballot. And the Republicans are saying, well, if this gets upheld by the Supreme Court, then we can do the same. And you know what? Like, I'm all for that. If the Democrats want to play dirty that way, then the Republicans can play dirty too. But my prediction is that this is going to go to the Supreme Court. This is going to get struck down. Trump's name will be on the ballot for the primaries nationwide, irregardless. And even like Bill Barr and even Gavin Newsom have said this is bad precedent. So you know that when Gavin Newsom is saying it's bad, that it is bad. Now, I'm not saying that like that's good per se that Gavin is saying that. I know he has ulterior motives. The reason why he's saying that is because he wants to be the one to face off against Trump in 2024. And, you know, he wants to be the one to take down Trump. And if you don't think that Gavin Newsom is going to run, well, I've got, you know, news for you. I've got an igloo in Florida that I can sell you. At any rate, I don't want to get too much into politics since it is Christmas Eve, but I didn't really get much of a chance to talk too much about Colorado, so I briefly wanted to cover that for folks and just kind of let people know my input on that. So moving on to lighter topics and a little bit of humor, Tucker Carlson put out a Christmas episode of his show, a Christmas Eve special. I've seen it. And many other people have, but for those who haven't, maybe they've been busy shopping all day, last minute gifts, yada, yada. You might not have seen this. And I want to do some commentary on it because to me, it is humorous. It is satirical. And I think a lot of people are kind of overanalyzing it. So, you know, people have asked my opinion on this. So we're going to go through this and do some analysis on it. By the way, Max Sand is in chat. He says, Merry Christmas. And he also says, you didn't get much chance to talk about it due to our five-hour conversation. Yes, our five-hour conversation with Mr. Craig Bob. Very good episode, especially considering it's the end of the year practically. And by the way, Max, if you want to come on the show, I can send you the link to hop on real quick. You weren't on Gilded, or you were showing as invisible or offline, so I didn't message you because I assumed that you might be doing some dad stuff. You can jump on a few. Okay, well, let me then send you the link and Hold on, folks. This is what happens when you, in fact, do a live show. Okay. Let me go into Gilded here. And I'll send Max the link. So okay, Max, the link is sent. I'm sure you saw it. So just, you know, pop on, and when you're ready, and I'll let you, I'll bring you on, of course. Now, back to kind of our lighthearted show. So Tucker Carlson did a Christmas special episode. It's only 7 minutes long. I know a lot of people have seen this, you know, if you've been online today. So this isn't going to be exactly a live reaction. I've seen it. But it's still pretty funny. I actually didn't know that Tucker Carlson could do comedy, but apparently he can. And Merry Christmas, Mr. Max. How are you doing?
Excellent. Merry Christmas, Sam, and everybody else. I had to jump in for just a few moments at least, you know, if we're doing a Christmas Eve special. You know, make sure you guys are, you got plans tomorrow. And if you don't, do something special for yourself, you know?
Yeah, and I have some words of wisdom kind of at the end of the show. I was going to pre-record this, but then I checked Rumble and, like, everyone else is streaming tonight. So I figured, well, if everyone else is streaming, why not? You know?
I was wrapping gifts and watching the Pod Awful merch episode. You know, fun fact, Sam, I was looking through old Pod Awful episodes because I'm in the pizza fund, and I was like, I just want a Mersh episode, right? And there it was, you know, I had it on in the background. I was doing other stuff, and I just heard, and he goes into war with Sam Whitfield, and I was like, oh, it's that. Okay.
Did he actually do an episode on that? Because, like, nope. I've not seen that one, so
it's a pizza fund only $12 episode, and without spoiling anything, he's like, yeah, we've made fun of Sam, and he just laughs.
Well,
and I was like, yeah, that sounds right.
Well, yeah. Speaking of make fun and laughing, I'm not sure if you've seen this though, but Tucker did an episode today, and the amount of people who just don't get comedy, it's really shocking how many people take things literally online.
The funny thing with me is he was like, you'll know the guest by his face. And I was like, who the fuck is this? Because I'm not a movie guy.
Oh, so you hadn't seen this yet. So
I saw like a few, like a minute 30. And he was like, everybody will know my guest by how he looks. And I was like, I have no idea who this is.
So in other words, you haven't watched House of Cards then?
I have not. No. Never heard of it.
Well, okay, so I can kind of, I guess, walk you through this. This will actually be fun because I can explain some of the meta jokes to you then. So, yeah, I already kind of spoiled it, but, for the folks watching, here it is.
2024 has not even begun yet, and it does seem like the presidential race is effectively frozen in place, if not over. We know who the candidates are. it's too late for another to get in. Some have already dropped out. But is it too late? Is there anyone in this country of 350 million people who could jump in at this late date and re-scramble the calculus of electoral politics? Well, there may be someone. And in fact, you already know him. You know his face. And the question is, will he get in this cycle? And that's my question for you.
Well, that's really a decision for the people, Tucker. It's not something that I really think about or want to do. And Merry Christmas to you, too.
Okay, so for those of you listening on audio, Tucker has Kevin Spacey, who's playing his character Frank Underwood from House of Cards.
Oh, it's Kevin Spacey. I get it. I didn't recognize him, you know, without him trying to molest a little boy.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. Okay. So, that's a good one.
Sorry. Sorry. I had to point out the obvious fact.
No.
I get what you mean by people not understanding a joke, but a lot of what I saw people saying is, don't you know that he's a gay pedophile?
Allegedly, and that's the whole thing.
Yeah, allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not his character from some show like Kevin Spacey himself.
Right.
Right. If it was a character on the show, I wouldn't have made that joke, right?
Right. Well, that's the thing. I don't think people realize, basically, I'll just kind of get to the point right away. I don't think a lot of people realize that Tucker was interviewing a character. People were getting mad that Tucker was had Kevin Spacey on because, you're platforming a pedophile.
He is. He is.
Yeah.
Allegedly, but
allegedly.
Yeah. I mean, there's but that's not untrue.
Right. So these same people who are getting upset that, you know, that some people won't platform and, you know, Nazis are getting upset that Tucker's platforming an alleged pedophile.
I just don't believe in the no platform thing at all. I think it's right. Stupid. When you have a guy like this on, character or not, that's the first thing. It's the last bit of news they know about him.
Yeah, right? And also, I hate to say this.
I want to point out he would get the same reaction if he had Michael Jackson on.
Yes. Well, right? I also want to point this out too. Like, I'm not endorsing anything that Kevin Spacey allegedly did, but I can also separate art from the person.
Sure.
And
yeah.
Kevin Spacey has been in several movies and shows, House of Cards being one of them, that I absolutely love.
Well, look, hey, if you're never going to watch anything that was produced with any pedophile again, then you just have to do what I do and not watch any movies.
Right.
I hate to break this to you all, but that's the reality of it. If you're watching a film, somebody involved from Hollywood, especially somebody involved with that film is a kid diddler.
Yeah.
Like certainly, and probably everybody knows it too.
Yeah. So, you know, and we used to be able, we actually talked about this recently, like separating art from, you know, people. Like, we actually talked about this kind of verbatim. So
the one time it becomes almost impossible for people, though, is when it's pedophilia involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether it's allegations or not. I mean, like, you can say what you want about Michael Jackson, right? But in the courts, he was always found innocent.
Yeah.
You know, at what point does that matter to the average person? It doesn't seem to, because they'll still tell you that he was a kid diddler, right?
Well, and same thing with Kevin Spacey. Like, he was actually found not guilty of all charges, from what I understand.
Right, right. But the average consensus is not going to be to follow all of that. They're just
right.
They're just gonna, like I did there, and that's why I did it that way. I was like, oh, right. I didn't recognize him without him trying to molest the little boy. That's the average person's mentality on people like that. And that one, that there is one thing that will make separating the art from the artist hard, and it's when you're nasty to children.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people actually also, you know, harming animals is another one that they will not separate the art from the artist.
Or murdering women. O.J. Simpson comes to mind specifically with that.
Or Chris Benoit, right? A lot of wrestling fans will tell you, oh, but he was a great wrestler. And he was one of the best. I would, me and my brother would get mark out when his music hit because you knew you were in for a good match.
Yeah.
But I can't look, I'm sorry. I can't separate that art and artist from the man who murdered his wife and autistic son.
I was watching Jingle All the Way last night, which has the late, Phil Hartman. And Phil Hartman wasn't a criminal or anything, but, you know, sadly, Phil Hartman is known because he was murder-suicided by his wife. And I believe it was...
After Andy Dick gave his wife a whole bunch of cocaine. I mean, never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind. Hollywood shit.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
The kind of... See, that's the kind of thing, though. None of us live lives like that, right? Only Hollywood people can, and we just accept that, like, none of us are like this. Like, it's very unlikely you're going to get the Kevin Spacey accusation. You know what I mean? It's very unlikely because you just don't put yourself in situations that might even look weird.
Right.
But, like, Hollywood people, I truly believe this, that there's an element of, like, never, ever being held to account for their actions. And so when people do see something wrong, that's why they have a hard time separating art from the artist, because these people don't get held accountable, generally speaking. And we all know they're shitty people. Like, we all know these A-list actors are mostly really shitty people.
Yeah. Yeah, but we
give them a pass anyway. Why? Because they can read a script good?
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily give them a pass for
you watch their movies.
What they did. Yeah.
Right. That's a pass. You're still employing them, essentially. You're buying their product.
Yeah. Well, unless you bought their product before they were accused, that's kind of what I mean. So
I think for a lot of people, they won't go back and watch old Kevin Spacey shit either. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying they're right for this kind of line of thinking, but that's just how it is, you know?
Yeah.
You get that kind of accusation and it's going to fucking follow you for the rest of your life, whether it's true or not.
Yeah. I mean,
it's going to be that one guy at a party who, you know, he's not very funny, he's not very smart, but he's got three Kevin Spacey jokes. Like,
yeah.
And that's his whole identity. He's the guy at the party that has the Kevin Spacey jokes or the Michael Jackson jokes or whatever, you know, insert fallen celebrity here, right? There's one guy who those are the only jokes he'll ever come up with, and he tells the same ones at every party he goes to.
Yeah.
And, if that would only continue to work if people don't suddenly say, well, yeah, but I heard Kevin Smith was acquitted. That ruins the joke. But nobody does that. So he doesn't have to worry about his joke being ruined because nobody looks into it. They're like, he's a pedo. And then they would go and watch his new movie too.
Yeah. Now, at first maybe I thought that this was just like a green screen or something.
Like old clips from the show that you mentioned.
Yeah, or something.
Yeah. It does seem to be he really got him.
Which, like, I guess one thing I'll give Tucker on this, like, props for, like, keeping this under wraps.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, again, with the reputation the guy has now, yeah, it's easier to get him if you're Tucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, Tucker wouldn't have got him 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the thing about Kevin Spacey that I would like to point out. He was not an overtly political guy as a celebrity.
Right.
You know, but he ran afoul of whatever, you know, whether by his own actions or they just wanted to say he did this. See, that's the thing. Is acquitted or not, it's a little fucking weird.
Yeah, well, it's also, I will say too, like, it is weird because, like, for the past few Christmases, he's done weird, like, videos, like, on YouTube.
Aren't they all in this character too?
Yes, and so that's what makes it.
Maybe he's lost his mind.
Yeah.
Maybe he actually is, like, living this character now on a day to day because it's just the pressure got to. I don't know.
Yeah. But, like, so have you, all jokes, joking, like, aside from your comment, though, like, have you seen House of Cards at all, or do I need to fill you in?
I have literally never heard of it.
Okay. So, basically, he plays a Southern Democrat congressman who basically it's him and his wife, and they're basically the Clintons. And you notice at the beginning of the clip, like, he talks to Tucker and then he talks to the camera, like a fourth wall break. That's all from the show, too. So this is fun because I get to explain, like, pop culture to you.
No, I get it. And then, yeah. And then Tucker's bit is pretending like his character on the show isn't a scumbag politician.
Yeah.
I get what's going on. I suppose you'd have to be into that show to fucking truly get it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a huge cultural phenomenon.
I'm not saying because I didn't hear of it that it wasn't huge. I just live in a bubble away from a lot of that shit.
Yeah, no, I mean,
intentionally so.
Listen, if it makes you feel any better, like, Taylor Swift, I guess, won Time Magazine, like, Time's Person of the Year. And that doesn't mean anything to me because, like, I can only name one song of her, which is Romeo and Juliet, and I don't even know how that song goes.
So here's the thing from a music perspective of Taylor Swift. She is quite talented.
Yeah, not
there's no way around that. It's not my genre of music, but obviously if you follow the music business at all, you can't ignore what she's accomplished. And then on the add to that, of course, that she's highly political, which is why they're pushing her so hard now.
Yeah.
Ever since she endorsed a race like 2 years ago, now she's decided she's full on politics and the media is going to push her down every, you know, teen to mid 20 girl's throat as the greatest thing ever. Musically, her writing is bad, right? It's bad.
Yeah.
It's written like the 14-year-old girl she was when she wrote a lot of it, and even her newer stuff is still written like a 14-year-old girl wrote it. Here's the thing. If it's 14-year-old girls listening to it, that's fine. But also, you know, again, as a guy that's spent a lot of time in the music industry, you have to give credit to a girl that writes her own songs. I don't know if you knew this, Sam, but almost every major pop hit in the last 25 years was written by one Swedish guy. So it's nice to see people who write their own music, even if I fucking can't stand it.
Yeah, no, I'm not denying her that. I'm not, like, you know,
I wanted to be fair, you know, just from a fair perspective, what she's accomplished is quite impressive. Personally, I hope she fails at everything she does, but
Is
that's
it
unlikely?
Yeah, is it person of the year material though? I'm not sure. Anyway, though.
Well, it's not me, so it's clearly wrong.
Right.
Right.
So,
can only be one person of the year, right? And obviously, every year they're wrong because they don't pick me.
Well, no, I think the person of the year should be Kurt Doolittle, but that's, you know, that's just my opinion.
He's certainly doing something, you know, interesting, but
I mean, heck, I would put Craig as person of the year, which, by the way, it's appropriate that your name is Blame Max Sand on Twitter, because I blame you for turning me into a fan of the untitled,
the fake untitled podcast. It's so worth a listen. Them guys, yeah. Man, some of their science debates are just fucking hilarious. And they always, like, I forget the other guy's name, but he's always, like, in opposition to anything Craig says, and it's just so funny.
Yeah. Evan, or? Yeah.
No, the other guy. Evan is more of, like,
Steve.
Yeah, Steve. Those two will just sit there and fucking, like, if you find some of the older episodes, they'll scream at each other about, science. It's great.
I'm actually going to get Steve on the show nice. At some point in 2024, because we're both from
I want to point out to him, and I will, that like what he does by making Craig crazy is the greatest thing on the internet.
Yeah,
and he does it unintentionally. It's great. So, love him. Okay, yeah, so we're watching. So, yeah, so this is a character from a show where he's playing a corrupt politician.
Yeah.
And Tucker's bit here is he's going to support this corrupt politician.
No, he's just, I don't know what Tucker's, see, that's the interesting thing is, like, what is Tucker's
he's the media. He's the media who tells you that this is fine, even though you know he knows otherwise. That's it. That's my take.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
I believe that nothing should be off the table in life or in art. I think we could both agree that we need to get some adults back in the room. So if that means taking on the chief executive role, well, that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make for this great nation.
Adults in the room. I love it. I could see there's a bumper sticker. Is that your campaign slogan?
Well, that's not a bad idea. Look, I think first our country needs to stop apologizing and stiffen up. I mean, look, we got so many people running around with so many different issues, like gun control, important issue. But let's be honest. The truth is, more people are killed by online trolls every day.
That may be true, actually, but then they're protected by the First Amendment. They can say whatever they want. You believe in the First Amendment, I assume.
Of course I do. Look, people spewing ridiculous ideas is nothing new, and they should always have that right.
Even though in the show, he kills, like, multiple journalists who try to expose his corruption. So, little inside joke there.
Well, they had information that might lead to the arrest of Hillary. Never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
But the problem is, somewhere along the way, we started listening. And we should remember the salient words of Benjamin Franklin, who said, "Do not believe anything of what you hear, and only half of what you see." And he wasn't telling people to stop talking. He was telling us to stop listening. So let's stop blaming bots and college kids and start telling leaders what leadership really means.
I love it. But how do you do that?
Well, this country is mired in so much contradiction and confusion, we don't even know how we can help anyone anymore, because we can't agree who needs help. I mean, what doesn't come with a trigger warning these days? I mean, Tucker, we are far too close to having a beanbag chair in the Oval Office. We coddle to everybody. Okay, you think you're a rabbit, that's fine. But let me tell you something. You sure as hell aren't going to see someone walking through my White House in bunny ears and a tail unless it's Easter.
Well, amen. But how do you think we got here in the first place?
Fear, fear, and then some more fear. That's been the consistent theme, fear. And that's why I'm going to keep saying we need to get some adults back in the room.
Sounds like you're running. If you did run, I assume it would be as an independent.
Well, I've always been independent my whole life, no matter what my party affiliation, even though at the moment I don't quite recognize my old party.
So at what point would you get in if you did?
Well, I think there's time. I've never been afraid to show up a little late for the dance.
But lots of people want to be president. What would you specifically bring that others aren't?
Well, I think I have a long and very solid relationship with the public, and that's a bond that has never been broken. I mean, I've almost felt like I can talk to them directly.
Well, I mean, you do talk to them. Every Christmas you give a statement. It is Christmas Eve. What is your statement specifically this year?
You know, Tucker, I think it's just good enough to sip some eggnog and decorate the tree and listen to White Christmas and embrace all the things that make this such a special day. The truth is, I love nothing better on this day than to do a line of blow, drink a whiskey and Coke, hit a reindeer with my car, and wish you all the naughtiest Christmas ever.
You know, you and I have something in common, actually.
Oh, yes, we both got canned by our network.
True, but they actually tried to kill you.
Yes, but here we are, Tucker, bigger than ever.
So looking back on all the drama, do you think that legacy media played a role in what happened to you?
Look, I think they're trying to do their best to stay relevant. Look, platforms like X, I mean, you move information around so quick that everybody else is just playing catch up. Legacy media's diligence has turned out to be they just cut and paste what some trusted outlet does. I mean, look, this will be a good example. Watch how they report on this conversation. There'll be one or two headlines that get repeated over and over and over. I think, actually, if legacy media wants to survive, they're going to have to start slowing down.
That's smart. I agree with that. By the way, do you watch Netflix anymore?
Probably as much as you watch Fox.
Fair. So that doesn't mean that you're gone, though, from Netflix. I don't even know if you're aware of this, but every time a person pulls up the Netflix app, you're there in some way. Have you seen this?
Yes, you know what that is? Boom, boom. So it is bizarre that they decided to publicly cut ties with me on allegations alone, allegations that have now been proven false, because I don't think there's any question. Netflix exists because of me. I put them on the map and they tried to put me in the ground.
Do you think within Netflix and the leadership suites that your influence is still felt?
Well, according to your research, my influence is felt every time every customer opens the app. I'd say that's pretty powerful.
Oh, that's true. When are you getting back to work, by the way?
Oh, I've been back at work from the moment we started talking, Tucker.
So does that mean this is like an episode or is it real?
Well, it's probably a little of both. I mean, Tucker, what's true, what's false? What's life, what's art? What's real, what's performance? I love it when these things intersect because then it gets interesting.
What role do you see yourself playing going forward?
I will play whatever role the public wants me to play. And what about you, Tucker? What role do you want to play? I mean, if I run, I'm going to need a vice president.
I'll sleep on it. I mean, people have already gotten out of the race. People have dropped out already. What do you think of those?
Well, you know, it's a little bit like jumping in the jacuzzi with a boner. You know it ain't going to last forever. So I wasn't surprised when Mike, a little too pensive, jumped out right away.
I wasn't either. But what about the candidates who are still in?
Well, I like Vivek, Drain the Ramaswamy, and Nikki Haley is tough. She's no doubt learned a thing or two by watching me. But I think in the end, we need someone in the White House who's not afraid like me, not afraid to push our country or a journalist in the right direction if it comes to that.
I sure appreciate your coming on. It was great to see you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Tucker. I only showed up because I was told I would get to be on X. Not the drug, not the platform. I was curious as to what Tucker on X might be like.
I have never tried that.
Well, you wouldn't be the first guy to tell me you'd never tried that before.
So that's that broke the internet today, I guess.
Yeah, I just went and typed in Kevin Spacey to see what they were saying about it. It is pretty funny. Let's see, Variety. Kevin and Spacey and Tucker released bizarre Christmas video. HuffPo, Kevin Spacey and Tucker team up in weird. They love to say that it's weird. I agree, it is weird.
It is, but like that's Kevin. Like we said, that's Kevin Spacey's thing now, is like doing this character. And he does it like every Christmas Eve, like now, whether it's slow or...
So can I just say that yes, he didn't get, but by the way, it wasn't a criminal charge, so he wasn't acquitted. He just won a lawsuit. He did admit to the allegations, so I don't feel bad saying gay pedophile. He okay. said, he said that, I just had it up too, but he essentially said that, oh, well, if that happened and I was drunk, I'm really sorry. And also, turns out, yeah, I'm actually gay, and now I'm gonna be gay.
Oh, yeah, oh yeah, I do remember. I do remember when that happened. So
it was the same, same thing. He said that if this happened, the specific allegation being leveled against him, he said, if that happened, I don't remember because I was really drunk, and so I owe you the sincerest apology. Mm. Bro was 14. Probably not the best way to put it, but
yeah,
he didn't say, oh, that definitely didn't happen. He said, well, if it happened, I was drunk. Well, yeah, you know, when I raped that kid, come on,
yeah,
what an I'm not even saying, like, maybe the guy is making it all up, but you don't do yourself any favor when you're like, yeah, I might have been drunk. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, that is a little what I don't understand is, like, and I'm not saying that you're saying this or that anyone else is saying this. I have seen like some bizarre people who are like, well, Tucker platformed a pedophile, so therefore he must also be a pedophile. And
right. That's why I say Hollywood are all pedophiles, I guess. So fair enough.
Yeah. I mean media personalities, I guess. So, but anyway, people kept asking me to, you know, comment on that. So I figured rather than write like a post about it, I would just cover it live on the Christmas stream. So
am I the only guy in the world that, like, didn't see this show?
I mean, I didn't see it until like 2 hours ago, to be fair, because I was busy, like,
no sleeping. I mean the show that the whatever
House of Cards. I mean, maybe
it was one of them big Netflix series, and that's the thing. I have not gotten into any Netflix series ever.
Listen,
I'm not even sure I have net. I think we have Netflix, but I wouldn't know how to log into it.
Listen, people are still upset that I've never watched The Walking Dead.
I've not watched that. I've not watched Game of Thrones, which is right up my alley. But those ones are different because those ones I didn't watch for a reason. You see, when the shows were airing, right, I'm a gamer and I was playing online games. And so when those shows would air, people in the chat would talk about the show and spoil it. And I would just be like, well, never watching that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't watch shit. Like, I'm not even one of those like people that's like, oh, no, spoilers. Oh, spoilers is the worst ever. But if you spoil it for me, I probably won't watch it.
Yeah. No, I'm the guy where, like, if you spoil something and it's, you know, if you spoil it, something is like really bad or something, I'm actually glad because then it's like, oh, you saved me X amount of money or you saved me X amount of time or
whatever.
So,
excuse me.
And Max is dying on stream, folks.
Maybe. Got a little. You know, you get some in your throat. Jeez. The spoilers weren't for bad things, though. That's the thing. It's just like, oh, I really want everybody else to watch this show, so I'm going to tell them everything that happens. That seems to be how some people operate. That seems to be how some people like to watch shows, to be honest. They like to know ahead of time. Not me. The moment you spoiled anything in The Walking Dead, a character I've never heard of dying, I'm just like, well, but now I know. And I'm going to be waiting for that. And fine.
Yeah.
It's not worth my time.
I had no idea that Meghan Markle or whatever her name, the new like princess or whatever. I had no idea that she was an actor. And people were like, really? You didn't know that? And I'm like, no. I'm like, no.
I wouldn't know more than anybody, right? Like, she could be in like the biggest movie in the world, and I literally don't, aside from this, I'm not a Kevin Spacey guy. You know, he's huge, right? What, besides Footloose, what was he in? Because I know that one.
He was in like LA Confidential.
Never seen it.
He was in Seven with Brad Pitt.
Heard of, but not seen it.
Yeah.
You're going to be pulling movies out that I've never seen for a while. I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah. And yeah, no, those are the only two that I can think of off the top of my head. But
I know he was in a Call of Duty game.
Yeah. Well, that too.
There goes my
seat.
If only it fit. You know what I mean?
I don't know if I told you, but like I found out that like my Santa hat like completely disintegrated and by the time I found out, like, it was too late to order off of Amazon, and my mom's like, I'm not running to the store to get a Santa hat.
See, here's what it was, is my wife was like, oh, I'll get you one by the Wednesday, right? And then Wednesday was there and she hadn't, and then she had to go shopping. And that's why she was so excited that she was able to bring it home. But this was literally the only one they had. So like, it was either this not fitting one or she wasn't doing it. And she paid more for it than I think she should have, to be honest with you. So I got two out of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's good. I'm just letting people know it wasn't for a lack of trying on mine. The hat, like I've had for years, literally disintegrated. And so I'm wearing my old man winter hat, even though it's, even though I live in Florida, because why not? So any like I guess holiday, it's almost Christmas Day. You're probably gonna be opening presents. I'm
getting them out for the night so that they'll be ready for the boy in the morning. That's the plan tonight. I had to kick my wife out to wrap her present, and that was way harder than it should have been, because I was trying to give her subtle reasons to go upstairs, and she had brought the wrapping paper down, and I was like, oh, yeah, you're really cold down here. Maybe you should go upstairs. And then it was like, I came up with like 14 different reasons why she should go upstairs for 5 minutes. And then finally, I just had to say, hey, scram, I'm wrapping your gift. And she was like, oh, well, why didn't you just say that?
So I always buy my mom books for Christmas because she reads. She's a reader. She's into garden design books, but I also bought her Elon Musk's biography because I thought she'd like that too. And We were at Books a Million, which is like the local, it's like the bookstore chain here in Florida, on Black Friday. And the hardest thing was she kept like picking out the books that like I had already gotten for her. While she and my stepdad were abroad. And so every time she would pick out, like, I'm like, oh, you know, I don't like, I was basically like trying to like, be like, I don't, you know, like, maybe you should wait until after Christmas or, you know, something to, like, it's really hard when someone wants to buy you something for Christmas, but, like, you've already bought it for them. So, like, yeah.
My big thing this year is, I'm probably not getting any presents because I specifically asked people, like, there's nothing I need. So spend that money on my son rather than me. That's been my, so if you were going to get him a present and then me something worth $20, take that extra $20, put it towards him.
Well,
because I am not a material. I was just having this argument with my wife, 'cause she was like, what do you mean don't get you anything? And I'm like, look, if you get me something, that's nice. I'm not going to be like, oh, fuck you. You got me a present. I'm just saying.
Right.
I am at a point in my life as a 40-year-old man that I don't need things on Christmas. Being together is more than enough. For example, I helped her pick a present for her mom. Recently, her mom has had some issues with a friend of hers being a bit too in her space, let's say. And
gotcha.
Because she broke her back in October. I think I've mentioned this before. And so we've all been trying to help out. And this woman has been coming over and helping out, too, that lives in, she lives in like an old people place by herself. And so this other woman there is helping her out. I don't like the other woman. But then there became this problem. Somehow, a picture of her, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law from their wedding. It's just a picture of them holding hands. Just their hands on the table during their wedding that she had framed and had on her shelf for 35 years. Magically disappeared when this woman cleaned her house. And so my idea for a Christmas present was, well, why don't we just get that picture? I was like, first thing I was like, well, there's a copy of this picture, I hope. My wife was like, yes, I have it. And I was like, well, why don't we get a nice print of it? Maybe put, and we did in the end put four other pictures, like her and her husband when he was alive.
Yeah,
the whole family with me and my son and my wife and them, just her and my son and just her husband and my son. That was the idea. So it's the whole family, right? And frame it real nice. And that gift cost about $3 and then another couple dollars for a frame. And it's going to be the most impactful gift we give this year. I guarantee it. So,
yeah.
Just, you know, if you're out there and if you're thinking, man, you know, I got to spend more money on Christmas. Usually not actually, except for kids. Kids is different, but even kids, when it comes to kids, it's like the kid wants something very specific is what gets expensive, but everything else can be not, if that makes sense. Right.
Right.
Of course, we're not doing big electronics this year. I mean, it's a tough year for everybody. His big thing he asked for was Godzilla. I still have yet to wrap it, and I got this. It's Godzilla. I don't know if the glare's too much, but it's Godzilla fighting King Kong from the new film. And it has a diorama city you can build that's all blown up.
Yeah. And, well, that's
considering what this is and how big everything is, it really shouldn't have been $70, but
that's
welcome to Joe Biden's America.
Yeah. Well, and that's toy companies for you too. So
well, same thing 3 years ago would have been $20, but it's, you know, that's his big thing right there. There's no electric. It's just a toy because he likes playing with his Godzilla figures and his he's got a whole bunch of other. Don't get me wrong. He's got to have so many fucking presents to open. It's absurd.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
he's also getting a new TV from his grandmother. So I guess.
Yeah.
It's because it is old and like the pixels are starting to wear out.
Oh, so well, that's nice. Speaking of grandmothers, so my grandmother, who's 89, she's really the only grandparent I have left. My mom's mom bought me some. She actually bought me an early Christmas present, which was some writing software that I've wanted. So, and hence, that's why I did the reformatting on my book, because I was finally able to format it the way I actually wanted to initially with this software, instead of using the freebie that Amazon gave.
Right.
So, and for those who have read the book, I dedicated the book to her when it came out in June, because she's the one, or in July, because she's the one that got me into reading thriller novels in the first place. So
yeah, you got to be proud, right?
Yeah. Well, and she, and also, I mean, at her age too, like, I know it's cliche to say you don't know how much time you're going to have, but, you know, like, I lost my grandfather, you know, earlier this year, and
famously got banned for it. Yep.
I explained that. I explained that to my mom, and at first she's like, "What do you mean you got banned off YouTube for talking about your grandfather, my dad?" And I'm like, "Well, that's specifically what I was talking about when I got banned."
Yeah, you weren't even specifically talking about him. You were talking about, "Oh, you know, I had a couple of weeks off. I'm sorry about that. I was doing this, and I had to go to the funeral." And it was like, it was about your travel more than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, so
you didn't even curse.
It's like, no. So you know, and during that time, I was actually writing the book, so I'm like, you know what? Like, she's still alive, and I'm gonna dedicate this to her because A, she's the one that got me into thrills, but B, like, I want her to be able to see it while she's still alive, so it means something. And it did. So I got her a reprint of the book for Christmas.
The nice new one right under the tree. That'd be great.
She already has the you know, she already has the original edition too, but you know, it'll be nice. And I buy it. You know, I can buy copies at cost, so it, you know, it's not that much money, but you know, she has everything in the world, and so
it means a lot to her, because what she doesn't have is a dedication in an actual novel published by her grandson, and now she does.
Well, she has it twice now. So
yeah, but you know what I mean. That's a great gift.
Yeah,
that's an absolutely great gift.
And you know, and also, I mean,
let's not beat around the bush. A lot of people probably told her throughout her life that you weren't going to amount to anything.
Right.
Like, and this goes, like, I give much credit to your parents. You know, even if you don't have the best relationship with your dad, is it doesn't seem like they took that mentality.
No. I mean, I've seen
people with kids who are disabled in some way, maybe even less than you, and they do give up on them. So I just, you know, that's admirable.
Yeah, well, and I mean, and the other thing that I've always admired both my parents for is they could have spent money basically suing the hospital where I was born for basically fucking up, because that is basically what happened. I have cerebral palsy because the hospital fucked up.
Which is the most common case scenario, right?
And I've actually talked about that. So if people want to go back in the archives on either Rumble or Spotify, it's a few years old, but people can find that episode. But irregardless, as I've mentioned before, they could have sued the hospital and spent all that money, but instead they spent on physical therapy. And
probably the right call.
Yeah. And people have always said, well, you could have gotten so much more money if you had sued them, but like they did the math.
If you didn't go in on physical therapy, you might not be here today.
Right.
This is what people don't understand is that did they or did they not tell you that you're probably going to die young, right? Or not you, but they told your parents that certainly.
Yeah. Well, they literally said that I'd be a vegetable my entire life. And, yeah. You know, the prognosis isn't great, you know, if it's that case. So, but
that doesn't mean it's set in stone and you're living proof of it.
Right.
And I think they made the right decision because I personally feel that it makes a lot of sense that if you didn't go all in on physical therapy and instead were kind of waiting on the results of a court battle that could take most of your life, who's to say where you'd be today?
Right. Exactly. So I'm thankful for both my parents. I'm also thankful for my white uncle who isn't here, which by the that kind of brings me to another point because there are a lot of people in this audience, some of whom you may know of, who have either lost relatives and or gone through divorces. And so a couple weeks ago, I'm actually glad that you're here for this, Max, because some people, I guess, kind of misunderstood what we were saying a few weeks ago when we said that the holidays were time to be jolly and not to be sad because some people said, well,
and I get that. No, don't misread me that if you've lost somebody and the holidays are hard for you, I understand that.
Yeah.
But my advice still remains because I feel that odds are if the person died, they probably don't want you to be miserable in their name. That's my take.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because my uncle Gary, who I've mentioned before, his birthday is on December 23rd. And
yeah, that's rough.
Were he still here, he would be 72 years old. But he died almost 8 years ago, and he died 2 weeks before Christmas. And, you know, I can tell you from personal experience that Christmas was devastating. So I get it. At the same time,
but it's you gotta remember it's the first of many, right?
Well,
and it gets better. I promise you, gentlemen, if you're the type that's listening to our show, that means that you, in some way, shape, or form, aren't completely black-pilled, right? And if you're not, then you got to remember that next year will be a little easier in the year after, And look, my grandfather, I talk about my grandfather a lot, actually, because he was the most influential person in my life. He was the only adult who gave a shit that I was alive, except as a punching bag until he died. And he died right before Christmas. Right before, like, I think it was the 21st.
Ooh, yeah, and, yeah, that's about when my uncle died, too.
You know, but sitting here almost 27 years later, or more than 27 years later, I don't think that he would want me to be depressed about that. I think he would want me to remember what I do, which is that he was the king of fucking Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
He was the king of Christmas. He would bring you the best gifts, you know, at least for me. I was his favorite grandchild, and he made no secret about that. So that's one of those things.
Yeah. Same with Gary. I mean, I have like two other cousins, both of whom are, you know, also boys, or I guess, you know, men now, but I have the three. I was the one who was always his son, but
I have something close to 30 cousins on that side of the family, and I was his Like, even if he didn't say I was his favorite, they all fucking knew it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I lived with him every summer. Right? Like, yeah. He told everyone I was his son. He didn't say grandson. He said I was his, and he said I was his only son, which is why my uncle hates me.
That was,
my uncle embarrassed him. So
that was kind of how Gary never had any kids because he was an alcoholic. He was a bachelor. He was a high functioning alcoholic who knew that he wouldn't be able to like be responsible and have kids. So, well,
but my Uncle Joe, he passed this last year.
Yeah.
It's like that too. He was a confirmed bachelor. He didn't want kids because he knew he liked drinking and partying, and he really wasn't. He didn't want to raise kids, but he loved his nephews,
and yeah,
especially me, because his big thing in life, what he really wanted to do, was on Fridays and Saturdays he'd go out and party. The week he'd work, and he'd just be sitting there reading Star Trek. Like, he loved Star Trek novels, and me being a reader. When I went over his house, I was a library. Like, he had every Star Trek novel, yeah, which is a lot more than you would ever think. And so I would just get to take a book with me, you know, and he didn't want kids himself. In his case, and maybe your uncle is in a similar situation, maybe not. He did have a long-term relationship with a woman when he was younger, and it didn't work out. And then after that, he kind of decided that, maybe marriage isn't for me.
Gary actually was married.
There you go.
And they never had kids, and it was one of those things where between his alcoholism and the fact that she didn't have any kids, my aunt at the time, Juliet, wanted out of the marriage. And my grandparents like hated her for it. But my dad and I both understood, and even Gary understood.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It sounds a lot like with my Uncle Joe. Again, they weren't married, but he was living that kind of life. He wasn't looking at having kids anytime soon. She was at a different place, and she couldn't live that kind of confirmed bachelor lifestyle. I was actually getting into this with you, yeah, about your friend Nash not that long ago.
Yeah,
where he says that his intent is to be a confirmed bachelor. I actually support that. The reason you don't hear me talk about it a lot, for those that are in the audience and are like, Max, I've never heard you say this before, is because I'm talking to guys who clearly want not to be confirmed bachelors, right? And I don't want that, so I can't give that advice. But you have to understand that there's some men aren't family guys. They just aren't, right? And maybe if they became them, they would actually be bad at it. Or yeah, maybe they just don't want that, you know? There's nothing wrong with that, except there's a couple ground rules, right? Is you don't want to go getting a bunch of women knocked up if you're going to do that, right? You don't want to have a bunch of kids that you're not taking care of. That's one. And then, yeah, and then two, you know, is... confirmed bachelors tend to get really, really, really lonely, especially later in life. And if you're one of the people that can't handle that, then it might be that that's not the path for you. And but there are some people that they're just fine that way.
And I will admit that is kind of. And if Nash is listening to this by chance, I don't know if he is or not, but you know, and since he's not accepting DMs, I'll say this publicly, but that is one of my concerns, is yes, later in life, some of these bachelors do get lonely. They can't cope. And that's exactly what happened to Gary. So it is a double-edged sword. You know, right, with that being said, it was his, I mean, I was angry at him when he died, and It took me a few years to realize that it was his decision, and I forgave him. And you know, now I try and live, you know,
But that's what I was going to say. The one thing about bachelors that I find who seem to have been happy with that situation, your uncle's an example, mine is an example, they found that sense of family through nephews, nieces, etc. If you can find that sense of being a part of a family still, it seems like you could, and you're the type of person that's like, you got to be predisposed to be okay with being alone anyway. Some guys are, right?
Well, that's the thing, though, is Gary, I mean, it's complex because Gary was, but at the same time, he dealt with loneliness, which is why he drank, too. So,
right,
you know, again, it's a double-edged sword.
To do the bachelor thing, the confirmed bachelor right, is very, very hard to do without ending yourself up in like a really depressive state. And I hate that, but there are guys that like it's perfect for them. So
yeah.
You know, so, I just think that if you're not that guy, and most of the people watching this aren't that guy, most of the people I talk to aren't that guy, because most guys aren't that guy.
My other advice though is if you've lost a relative over the holidays, and I do know some people who have lost relatives today, in fact, I hate to say this because it might seem like I'm diminishing what you may be going through if you're in this situation, but there's always someone who, in fact, has it worse. And what I mean by that is I lost my uncle on December 21st, 8 years ago. And I was really sad. And I thought I was having the worst Christmas ever until like 2 years later, two of my friends from high school lost their mom in a car accident on Christmas Eve.
Yeah,
now, I'm not necessarily saying that like that losing Gary was any easier, but it's like, wow, they lost their mom on Christmas Eve.
Well, and you can go further to that. This is why I always say modern people are such babies. Okay, if you were born in a certain place in a certain time, you lived your entire life from birth to death with somebody with a fucking whip behind you telling you what to do. And that wasn't that long ago. Or how about this? 100 years ago, if you had 3 children, one of them is going to die before they reach 18 years old. That was 100 years ago. Did you know that?
Yeah, no, I actually did, because Louis C.K. actually has a bit about like, that's why so many kids, like you'll have back in the old days were named, like sometimes it would be Steve and Steve, because one of the Steves would inevitably die. And so, oh, this Steve died. Oh, we have other Steve though. He made it, you know?
Yeah.
Or,
but my point being is like, we in the modern world are the least likely in human history to be a victim of interpersonal violence.
Yeah.
No. We're the least likely to be affected by starvation and just, you know, modern, like everybody's like, oh, modernity is so fucking terrible. But you're also ignoring a lot of the fucking side effects of us being modern is that you're even able to bitch about it.
Right.
That's a side effect, right?
And yeah, there is war and whatnot. We're not ignoring that, but like historically speaking, even with
all the wars going on right now, you are still historically less likely to be a victim of violence at the hands of another human being than ever in history.
Yeah, we are at the most peaceful time in human civilization, and that right there is a gift in of itself. So,
and it's also scary because we see what's out in front of us, and it's like, damn, if it was crazier than this. And that's kind of the
funny
people feel with it all, and I get that, but you gotta keep things in perspective. I say this about people, you know, like with you, right? Is like what you consider the normal would be a very big struggle for a lot of people who haven't been through the conditions of life you have.
Right.
You don't think twice about, okay, I got to go get something, and you just hop down and start crawling. And to a lot of people, you know, they couldn't even fathom that.
Right.
But to you, that's just, okay, it's Tuesday.
Well,
I need a beer.
Well, and part of the reason for that, though, was because, and I'm not even trying to toot my own horn and say I'm a perfect person, but part of that is because I have seen kids who are vegetables and who are like far worse off.
I have as well.
And it's kind of like,
and at that, I've seen them be labeled as the exact same thing you've got.
Yeah.
You know, if people want to know what cerebral palsy in its worst case looks like, it's pretty fucking ugly. It's pretty heartbreaking.
It can even be like scary in some cases. Not so much now that I'm an adult, but like as a kid, I would see some, you know, kids, and I mean some of them. I hate to say,
am I gonna be that one day? How would you know? Right?
Yeah.
I the pastor for my wife's family church, he adopts kids, and he's adopted, they're adults now, but he's adopted several with Down syndrome, right? And that's why I say I know people who have given up on their kids for less, because he raised those two kids because they were given up because they had Down syndrome, and the parents were we can't fucking handle it.
Yeah.
Those two kids now, by the way, one of them is a head administrator at a homeless charity, and the other one is he is basically the understudy with his dad to become the preacher for the church.
Wow, that's impressive.
These were, and they're wonderful people, and they give me the biggest hug when they see me and everything. It's you know, but yeah. They are not the waste case that the parents who abandoned them thought. They're actually productive members of society, and in fact, probably nicer than the average person, to be honest with you.
That's
I know that's like a trope, but it's true. The kids with Down syndrome all grown up are still fucking wonderfully giving and kind and innocent.
Yeah, I mean, now granted, I mean, people with Down syndrome, there are a few exceptions to where they can be assholes.
Sure, yeah.
And well, no, and what's really funny is it's almost kind of funny though too, because like people with Down syndrome are not as sometimes
they're not as intellectually deficient as a lot of people think.
Well, and sometimes they play.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely play the RTARD card as mm-hmm. much as possible.
I had a friend in middle school, and his name was Kevin. And he not only had Down syndrome, but for whatever, he had other stuff going on, so he had no teeth.
Oh, yeah, he was one of those.
And, you know, the teachers would be like, oh, yeah, the fucking retarded kid, blah, blah, blah. But, like, he would do shit like, he'd be like, hey, guys, watch this. And then he'd jump up on this was, like, in middle school. He'd jump up on the cafeteria table in the middle of all of us and just start saying fuck you to the teachers, and then he would just sit down and keep eating his lunch, and nobody ever did anything.
Right.
One day my friend got it in his head that he could do it too, because if this kid's getting away with it, right?
Oh,
he got in a lot of trouble. Lot of trouble. Yeah, so he knew that if I just do whatever I want, they're going to be like, oh, silly retard. Like, he wasn't stupid. He was using you, dummy. You're the you know what I mean? You're the retard teacher, not him.
Yeah, no, that does happen.
Yeah, I've I've had friends like that most of my life. I had a midget friend, and I say midget because if I called him anything else, he would fucking be very mad at me.
Yeah,
he had dwarfism, so I guess the term technically is dwarf. But I swear to God, if you ever called him little person, he'd want to fight you. He'd probably leave.
I had a friend who sadly is no longer here because he died from primordial dwarfism. Nick is his name.
Yeah,
that's a great guy. One of my fellow Eagle Scouts, but he actually got to meet the midget from Game of Thrones, and Peter Dinklage, I guess is his name, and everyone was like, "No way, you got to meet Peter Dinklage," and Nick was like, "Yeah, and that dude was kind of an asshole. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I remember that because everyone just assumes that because Peter Dinklage is a dwarf, he must be nice. But no, he's kind of an ass." So,
well, I actually had a conversation with that in particular with Dylan Postle, I think his name is Hornswoggle from WWE. He was fucking fuming about that, and I retweeted it on Twitter, and it got it to the attention of a couple of like right wing outlets who don't usually pay attention to this kind of shit. And so he did interviews about it, and he said, "Look, this motherfucker's putting us out of work. He got his, and he pulled the ladder up behind him." They don't like that at all. The midget / little people / whatever you want to call them community, if you will, is not a big fan of him right now. He cost them 7 dream jobs. That is like a dream job for you if you are a short person, right? If you're a vertically challenged person and you could get a job in Disney's Snow White as a dwarf, that's a payday, and that's a payday. You know what mailbox money is, right, Sam? It's like an industry term.
Yeah.
That means mailbox money for the rest of your life. That mailbox money, audience. I get it from the music industry, but it's in the wrestling industry and the movie. If you get royalties on a thing that you were in forever, you go pick up your check at your mailbox. That's what we mean. And so, like, Spotify has been great for this in the music world, right? Is you just have this constant revenue mailbox money, right?
Yeah, and it's been
makes it much easier for a band or an artist if they have that to count on to then work. What's our next project to actually make real money? Because mailbox money, I'll tell you one thing, unless you were in, I don't know, Disney's Snow White, it's not gonna be enough to really live off of for most people. I know that seems weird, right? But example, you have a hit song, right? You have a number one hit song. What ends up happening is you make all your money early on with that song, and then the plays on Spotify accumulate because one guy's like, "Oh, I remember that song," here and there, right? And so you get like 50,000 listens a month or whatever on your song. That equates to a couple pennies per listen or whatever. You get a couple thousand, but that's for the year. What I'm saying? Like, you get a year's worth of royalties, so you might get 5,000, but you obviously can't live your whole life off mailbox money. That's my point. Now, if you're in a film, like, the problem is that movie's going to bomb. But if they did it right and you were a dwarf actor or a midget or a little, whatever they want to be called, right? Because I'll tell you this, when you talk to midgets, little people, whatever, each and every one of them is going to tell you what they want to be called. And it's usually not the same as everybody else.
Yeah, no, and
I'm old and not politically correct, so I default to midget. My friend told me to call him a midget.
So you've got the midget card then, basically.
I guess. It's unfortunate not with us today to fucking sign that in paper. But
yeah.
I'll tell you what, the dude was a legend because this was mostly in regards to filming my shows in high school. And one of the bits that we did was to, you know how high schools, they'll have the tall lockers, but then they'll have ones that are like separated into a top and a bottom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we had stuffed a guy in a locker for a bit before that. And then we were like, wouldn't it be funny to put the little guy in the half locker? And we just like, you know how you spitball comedy ideas, right? And it's like, oh yeah, we just put him in the, he latched onto that and he was like, we must do this. And I was like, okay, well, we could put you in there and then edit it to make it seem like it had been hours and hours. And he was like, nah, you gotta put me in there for at least three periods and just leave the camera there and I will talk and you'll hear it. And sure enough, it made for the funniest fucking, just him in there. At first, he's like, guys, he's knocking on the thing. We left the mic in with him.
We did a bit with Nick and I can't believe I'm about to tell this, but basically, so there was this girl he liked, and he somehow knew her locker combo, and so Nick like had a dark sense of humor, and he thought it would be funny to basically like hide in this girl's locker and then like scare her.
That'll win her heart.
We were all goofy teenagers.
I joke, but I've been scaring the shit out of my wife for almost 20 years. So,
you know, and I don't know how lockers were when you were in school, but when I was in school, like, I guess locker stuffing had become like enough of a problem at that point that like someone decided to make lockers so that if people did get stuffed, you could like open them from the inside. So basically,
wait, that's dirty. I've been stuffing people in lockers way too long for them to come up with a trick like that. This, I've been saying people need to get stuffed in lockers recently.
No.
Nick Fuentes needs to be put in a locker. Tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, you're not wrong.
You saw when he punched a guy and he fucking tucked his fist. I did like a laughing, screaming bit about that. Just like, good Lord. Now you can get out of a locker. Jeez.
No, but for this bit.
But they still have padlock spots on them, don't they?
They do, but you can kind of like. I guess you can kind of
safety lockers, ladies, and welcome to the fucking machine.
No, you'll appreciate that. You'll appreciate this though. So we hit him in the locker. He's like dead quiet, right? The girl comes up like, I think she actually did have to like unlock the locker, if I'm not mistaken. But she unlocks, she undoes like the padlock. All of a sudden, Nick just opens the door and scares her. Like, he opens the door from the inside and just scares her. And we're all laughing our asses off about that.
So. Nowadays, they'd call the cops. Yeah. What you really need to do, though, ladies and gentlemen, is enjoy the holidays. I think that. So I'm gonna head off. Actually, I got presents to wrap and trees to trim and all that fun stuff before the jolly guy gets here. Apparently, as I've been talking to you, my wife was trying to put the boy to bed, but he didn't want to go to bed because it's Christmas Eve, and he fell asleep on my bed. Trying to stay up like a big shot. So now we have the go ahead. We're going to start rapping and getting crazy. Well, and
well, that's awesome. I'm actually going to wrap up the show myself because I've got to get into the shower and get ready for bed. But yeah, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, just, you know, enjoy the holidays. If it is tough for you, you know, God bless, but it'll if you're going through something, it'll get better. Time heals. Well,
and
all wounds.
I'll tell you, Christmas will be over Tuesday. And then yeah. Back to the grind. So if it's rough for you, hey, it was rough for me. I hated Christmas. I don't know if anybody knows this. I hated Christmas. I despised Christmas. It was my least favorite holiday. And that's because I was raised in a dysfunctional, abusive household, right? Where Christmas meant fist fights,
right?
And beatings and alcohol and all that. And now I love Christmas. It's my favorite holiday. And so I can relate. But when it was tough, I would just say, eh. And you know, a couple days it'll be over, and then we'll get back to the grind. But for me now, it's a way to kind of like make the grind bearable. This and
right,
I went on rants about Thanksgiving and how much it means to me, and even Halloween. People might think is a silly off day. Now these are the things that keep me going as a father. You know,
yeah,
instilling the same traditions on him that I wish were instilled properly on me. You know, I'm making up for lost time. I'm making up for mistakes that weren't mine to make.
So yeah, I guess that's the message. So real quick before Max heads off, I'm gonna head off too, but on Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't know whether we'll pre-record this or not, but Wednesday, we'll have one of my close personal friends on the podcast who works in Washington, D.C. He's home for the holidays in Colorado right now, but we'll have him on the show Wednesday. I don't know whether he wants to do the show live or pre-recorded.
Well, we might actually have to talk about politics, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we've been mad about that lately.
Well, and Max, I hate to say this, but like, he's kind of like an establishment Republican.
That's fine.
So he hates Trump.
Oh, and well, so, that's fine too.
Like, no, it'll be interesting because I'm the Trump guy. He hates Trump. So inevitably, we're going to clash a little bit for like probably the first like half hour, but then we're going to talk video games. And if you want to join, it'll be fun.
We'll see. Wednesday, I'm pretty sure I'm penciled in for Wednesday anyway, but
yeah.
I know we got a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to go down to the monastery. We're going to we got to go over and see some of her family, and then the boy is going to his grandmother's. That's his biggest Christmas wish, actually, is that he can spend the vacation over her house, because it's totally not because she spoils him rotten or anything.
No.
But you know what? I'm fine because the wife and I will have a week with him not here is the longest I think we've ever had since he was born.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so yeah, we're going to have our New Year's Eve, and we're going to have fun.
So basically, Max, if you want to come on the show and dogpile, I mean, have a polite conversation with my neocon. I mean,
I know who it is now, right? And I don't think it's going to be as bad as you're saying. I think we agree on a lot more than
typical. See, the thing is like we agree on 95% of the same stuff.
So we can argue about that 5. Like that's all we can talk about, really.
And then we'll talk about like video games, and he really wants to talk about AI, which, you know, that's actually become like a prominent subject on the show. So
yeah,
he does want to meet you at some point. So maybe Wednesday will be the day for that. So, but for you folks at home, there will be a show on Wednesday. So tune in for that. And for anyone who,
and then once I'm done, I would, this is my vow to you, audience. I'm going to try and get together like a clip show for the end of the year, but I got to get through Christmas first. So
yeah,
it'll be something, even if it's just a YouTube video I put up with like funny clips of us or insightful or whatever. I'm going to go through as much of our shit. There's a lot. I didn't realize how much content we've put out this year.
We've almost done like 80. I've actually counted because Spotify allows me to. We've done 81 episodes now at this point. So
varying from mostly 2 hours at the shortest to 5 hours. Yeah, it's a lot. Originally my goal was I was going to take one clip from every episode. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. No, there have been some shows where they've been so long that's the other reason why, like, sometimes I won't upload the Spotify podcast for like a day or two, is because some of them like take a day to like download and then like 4 hours to upload to Spotify.
Because yeah. We're so professional, ladies and gentlemen. We just talk an extra 3 hours, you know.
Yeah. No, we always say we're going to do like 2.5 max, and then it's like 5.
At least we have kept pretty consistent with the one thing this year, which is any more than 3's a crowd. We've been really good about that.
Yeah.
And also, if you don't know why, audience, go listen to a show with 4+ people speaking on it. And you'll suddenly see that, 4 people is about where nobody gets a word in edgewise anymore.
Yeah, and also, we really don't cover e-drama all that much, with rare exceptions. Like that. And now I might have to subscribe to the Pizza Fund now, because I've actually never seen the episode.
He watches the whole thing of Mersh going at you, which I had never seen. It's not just the I was nice to you. It's like a
so you find
minute thing, and Jesse and a lot of like the pot off little henchmen or whatever are commenting on it. Yeah, Porcelain's on it, and Alan Powell's on it.
So you finally got to like hear. Okay, so you know about the Alan Powell lore then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, I did run a poll like last week as to whether or not we should have Alan on in the new year. 70% of the poll voted I was nice to you in the poll. Yes. So yeah, that's a yes. Funny thing about that, people who have been here for a long time know. But when Mersh did that rant on me, Mersh thought I was watching, but I did not know that he went on like a 2-hour rant about me until the day after. I had been, because I, at the time, I was still in college, and it was midterms week. So I was like, I was doing college stuff. So.
Well, I'd seen the short version. And like I said, I was like, because I watched, first and foremost, if you get into Pot Awful Pizza Fund, the first thing I would ever recommend to anybody is the Red Room's Awful Ween this year. It's fucking one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my whole life. But then I'd watched a lot of the stuff. I watched old stuff, and I was like, oh, here's a Mersh one I haven't seen. And next thing I know, I'm over on my because I have multiple screens here. This screen way over here, I had Pot Awful on, and this screen I'm playing my game and looking at, and all of a sudden I hear, oh yeah, and that's Sam Whitfield. He called into the Sunday show one time. We made fun of him, but like it didn't bother him at all.
Yeah.
Sam, yeah.
No, and like now I've got like Pot Awful people who like make me watch Encino Man in like really bad movies.
It was, yeah, I feel okay with having watched Encino Man only after I got to assault Pauly Shore with a soda can. So
yeah, we'll have to have Nostalgia November on so you can tell that story.
I feel like I have to get that clip into the fucking end of year show is my Pauly Shore story. Because I feel like the first time I told it, it actually went over really well. I went back and watched it. I was like, oh, that's better than usually. Usually when I I skip it a lot. And the buildup is what's important, I think. The buildup to when I'm... Because in real time, in real life, I was literally looking at him talking shit and then looking down at this can and looking up at him and thinking, like a caveman putting rocks together. And I was just like, oh yeah.
so that's very fitting then, considering that, you know, he played a caveman in that movie.
There you go.
So
well, he played a friend of a caveman, whatever.
Yeah. But anyway. Well,
Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night.
Yep, Merry Christmas, folks. To all and to all a good night. I've always wanted to say that on a broadcast, and now I finally do. So thank you, folks. Have a Merry Christmas.
God go easy on the eggnog.
And Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night.
Thanks for listening to The Whitfield Report on the NGC Network. Please visit Sam's website at www.thesamwhitfield.com and support Sam on Patreon at patreon.com/Whitfield Report. Until next time, God bless, God save this great nation, and God, freedom, legacy, in that order.